Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today, we're going to be exploring Lakshmi.
Oh, very cool.
The Hindu goddess of wealth and prosperity.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems our listeners are particularly interested in understanding her significance, especially her connection to Vishnu and how that shapes ideas of prosperity and Dharma.
Right.
Her role in Diwali.
Right.
And of course, that symbolism of the lotus.
All great stuff.
Yeah. And to help us uncover all these interesting details,
yeah,
we're going to be using excerpts from some fascinating scholarly works on Indian history, religion, and culture.
It's going to be good.
So
I'm ready when you are.
Let's dive in.
Okay.
So it's fascinating how Lakshmi embodies abundance in all its forms.
Yeah.
You know, we often think of wealth as purely material, but she represents so much more than just money.
Right.
You'll find references to her as the bestower of plenty, which hints at her broader influence on spiritual and intellectual prosperity as well. So if Lakshmi is about more than just material wealth, what does abundance truly mean? Like, what comes to mind for you when you think about a life filled with abundance?
That's a really good question. It's a question worth pondering, I think, for many people. It's about a sense of fulfillment and well-being that goes beyond material possessions, you know?
Yeah.
It's about having enough of what you need both materially and spiritually to live a meaningful and purposeful life.
That makes a lot of sense. And you also mentioned Lakshmi's connection to Vishnu.
Yes.
He's the preserver deity in Hinduism, and she's his consort.
Right.
Which adds another layer to how Hindus view prosperity, right?
Absolutely. This connection intertwines the idea of prosperity with righteous living, or Dharma.
Wow.
You know, it's like a cosmic partnership where preserving the world and fostering prosperity go hand in hand.
Okay.
Dharma is about living ethically in harmony with the universe. So this connection suggests that true abundance comes not just from wealth, but from aligning your actions with a sense of righteousness.
It's like saying that true prosperity is about more than just what you accumulate. It's about how you live and the impact you have on the world around you.
Exactly. And, you know, we can see how this idea played out historically.
Yeah.
For example, during the Gupta period, kings used Vedic Brahmanism rituals to legitimize their rule.
Mm.
It's almost as if they were trying to blend religious and economic power, you know, seeking both material wealth and spiritual legitimacy.
That's a fascinating connection.
Yeah.
And it wasn't without its critics, right? Our sources mention the Shramanic sects like Buddhism that emerged around the same time.
Right. They challenged the rituals and social hierarchy associated with Vedic Brahmanism.
Okay.
Offering alternative paths to spiritual liberation. You know, it highlights that even back then, people were questioning the relationship between wealth and power and exploring different ways to achieve true abundance.
So how do you see this idea of balancing wealth and ethics playing out in your own life?
Well, for me, it's about being mindful of where my resources come from and how they're used, you know? It's about making sure that my pursuit of prosperity doesn't come at the expense of others or the environment. It's about aligning my actions with my values.
I think that's a great point. It reminds us that we all have a role to play in shaping a world where prosperity is both ethical and sustainable.
Absolutely. And now, you mentioned Diwali earlier.
Yes.
It's a vibrant festival of lights celebrated in honor of Lakshmi, and it offers a wonderful glimpse into how Hindus invite her blessings.
Right. So during Diwali, people clean their homes and light lamps to symbolically welcome Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's about creating a space for her energy to flow in.
Exactly. It's like setting the stage for a welcome guest.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful tradition that shows how actively people seek Lakshmi's blessings for the coming year.
Yeah, and speaking of beautiful traditions, one of the most striking images associated with Lakshmi is her lotus seat. Have you thought about the symbolism behind that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The lotus. It's such a...
I find it fascinating how the lotus emerges from muddy water, yet it blooms with such purity and beauty.
It's a powerful metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah.
It speaks to our ability to rise above challenges and achieve enlightenment, even in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Right.
Just like the lotus, we can strive to cultivate inner purity and strength regardless of the external environment.
And it ties beautifully into Lakshmi's own story as well.
Yes.
She's often depicted as emerging from the churning of the ocean, symbolizing the creation of abundance from chaos.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like saying that prosperity isn't something we passively receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we actively create through our efforts and resilience.
That's a great observation. The churning of the ocean is a powerful image that speaks to the constant cycles of creation and destruction in the universe.
Right.
And it suggests that we all have the potential to find abundance even in the midst of challenging times.
Yeah, and the fact that this lotus imagery appears throughout Indian art and architecture, from ancient temples to modern structures, speaks to its enduring significance.
Absolutely. The lotus isn't just a pretty flower. It's a symbol deeply ingrained in Indian culture, representing the journey towards spiritual growth and the potential for transformation that we all possess.
It's incredible how these ancient symbols continue to hold so much meaning for people today.
They really do, and they offer a valuable lens through which we can understand the complexities of life, including our own desires for prosperity and fulfillment.
Now, it's interesting to think about how Lakshmi's role might have evolved alongside India's economic history. After all, India's seen some pretty major transformations in its economic systems over the centuries, right?
You're absolutely right, and that's where our deep dive gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Let's explore how those ancient trade routes and the rise of powerful merchant classes might have shaped the way people viewed Lakshmi and her blessings. Those ancient trade routes were incredible.
Yeah.
Imagine bustling networks crisscrossing the subcontinent, connecting India to the wider world.
Yeah.
And they weren't just about exchanging goods, you know, spices and textiles, but also ideas and cultural influences.
So they were kind of like the internet of their time. Spreading information, connecting people across these vast distances.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how those interactions might have influenced the way people viewed prosperity and the role of Lakshmi in their lives.
Precisely. And the source material mentions the city of Fatehpur Sikri.
Okay.
Built by the Mughal Emperor Akbar.
Right.
It's a stunning example of architectural fusion.
Yeah.
Blending Indian and Islamic styles. You know, this kind of cultural exchange was happening all over India, fueled in part by the wealth generated through trade.
And if we connect this back to Lakshmi, it's interesting to think about how wealthy merchants and rulers supported the construction of temples and religious institutions. Like we see this throughout history, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like they were seeking Lakshmi's favor by investing in these huge projects.
It's a fascinating example of how economics and religion intertwined. You know, these acts of patronage weren't just about personal gain. They contributed to the cultural and artistic flourishing of India. It's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Increased trade leads to increased wealth, which then leads to more support for the arts and religious institutions.
It shows how deeply embedded Lakshmi was in the fabric of society.
Yeah.
Her influence extended beyond just individual aspirations for wealth and kind of touched upon the cultural and spiritual development of entire communities.
And it wasn't limited to Hinduism either.
Oh, okay.
Mughal emperors who were Muslim also supported the construction of mosques and other Islamic structures.
Uh-huh.
It demonstrates how India's diverse religious landscape has been shaped by these economic forces.
Right.
And highlights this idea that prosperity can manifest in various ways across different cultures and belief systems.
It reminds us that while we're focusing on Lakshmi in this deep dive, her story is just one thread in this much larger tapestry of human history.
Right.
And, you know, the pursuit of abundance.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, our sources also mention the British East India Company.
Oh, yes.
They were initially focused on trade, but eventually became the dominant political power in India.
Right.
Marking a pretty significant shift in those power dynamics.
The arrival of the East India Company ushered in the colonial period.
Yeah.
A complex and often difficult chapter in Indian history.
Yeah.
While the company's actions were often driven by exploitation, they also introduced new technologies and ideas that had a lasting impact on India.
It's interesting that even during colonial rule, we see Lakshmi's influence persisting. Our sources mentioned the construction of gardens.
Yes.
Like the Shalimar Bagh in Kashmir.
Uh-huh.
Designed for pleasure as symbols of power and prestige.
Beautiful.
And who do we often see depicted in gardens?
Lakshmi, of course, Lakshmi.
It's like she's still presiding over this abundance, even in this context of colonial rule.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that people find ways to hold on to their cultural traditions and beliefs, even in times of oppression.
Right.
But it wasn't just about clinging to the old ways.
Yeah.
Indians were also finding new ways to express their identity and aspirations.
Mm-hmm. The Indian nationalist movement that emerged in the late 19th and early 20th centuries is a prime example. It was all about reclaiming India's political and economic autonomy from British rule.
And that movement ultimately led to India's independence in 1947.
Right.
It was a transformative moment.
Yeah.
But it didn't magically solve all of India's problems.
Of course not.
You know, the country still faced poverty, inequality, and religious tensions,
mm-hmm.
challenges that continue to this day.
Absolutely. It's been a long and complex journey for India.
Right.
And it makes you wonder how Lakshmi's symbolism resonates in the context of modern India.
Yeah.
How do people reconcile the pursuit of wealth and prosperity with the need for social justice and equality in a nation that's rapidly developing and facing these complex issues?
Yeah, it's a question that so many nations are grappling with.
Yeah.
Especially as globalization and technological advancements continue to reshape the world.
Right.
So let's bring this conversation into the present.
Okay.
India is a rising economic power with a booming tech industry.
Uh-huh.
But it also has a significant portion of its population living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
How do we navigate those contradictions?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a challenge that policymakers, economists, and everyday citizens are trying to address.
Right.
And I think Lakshmi's symbolism can offer some valuable insights.
Okay.
Remember, she's not just about individual wealth. She embodies prosperity for all.
So the question becomes, how do we translate that ideal into concrete policies and actions that benefit everyone, not just a select few?
Right.
How do we ensure that the pursuit of abundance doesn't exacerbate existing inequalities?
It requires a deep understanding of India's history, culture, and economic realities, as well as a willingness to learn from past mistakes.
Yeah.
Our sources mention the Green Revolution,
okay.
which took place in the late 1960s. Mm-hmm. It was a massive effort to modernize India's agricultural practices, and it did lead to significant increases in food production.
But it also had some unintended consequences, right?
Yes, unfortunately.
So didn't it lead to increased reliance on chemical fertilizers and pesticides impacting the environment?
Yes.
And didn't some farmers get left behind because they couldn't afford the new technologies?
You're exactly right. It's a cautionary tale that demonstrates how even well-intentioned efforts to improve people's lives can have unintended consequences.
Wow.
It highlights the importance of considering the long-term impact of our actions.
Yeah.
It's not just about achieving economic growth in the short term. It's about creating a sustainable and equitable future for everyone.
It seems like achieving that balance is a pretty tall order.
It is.
But it's clearly something we need to strive for.
It is a significant challenge, but I believe it's a challenge worth embracing. And perhaps Lakshmi's symbolism can offer us a guiding principle.
Okay.
She embodies abundance, but also represents balance, harmony, and spiritual growth.
So,
maybe her message for us today is that true prosperity encompasses more than just material wealth.
Uh-huh.
It's about cultivating a sense of well-being in all aspects of our lives, both individually and collectively.
That's a beautiful thought. It reminds us to be mindful of the choices we make and the impact they have on ourselves and the world around us.
And it leads us back to that powerful symbol associated with Lakshmi the lotus.
Yes.
We've touched on it before, but it's worth exploring further.
Absolutely. That image of the lotus emerging from muddy water, pristine and beautiful, is such a powerful metaphor for the human spirit.
It is.
And our potential to overcome challenges and achieve enlightenment.
It resonates deeply with Lakshmi's own story, doesn't it? Her emergence from the churning of the ocean, symbolizing the creation of abundance from chaos.
Yeah.
It suggests that prosperity is not something that's simply given to us. It's something we have to strive for to cultivate, even in the midst of difficulty.
Makes you think about resilience.
Yeah.
About our ability to adapt and thrive in changing circumstances.
It does, and it makes me wonder how Lakshmi's symbolism might evolve in the future.
Yeah.
As India continues to grapple with the challenges of modernization and globalization, how will her image and her message transform to meet the needs of a changing society?
That's a fascinating question to consider, and it leads us to the next part of our deep dive, where we'll explore how Lakshmi's symbolism might be interpreted in the context of modern India's technological advancements and the rise of the digital age. So we've traced Lakshmi's presence through ancient India, medieval times, even the colonial period. But what about today? How does this goddess of prosperity fit into a landscape with booming technology and this whole digital revolution?
It's a fascinating question to consider. India's digital revolution is truly remarkable.
Yeah.
It's just become a global tech hub, you know, with innovations happening at a rapid pace.
Right.
From e-commerce to digital learning,
yeah.
The access to smartphones and the internet has opened up a whole new world of possibilities for so many people.
It's mind-boggling to think about the scale of this shift. It's not just about new gadgets.
Right.
It's about changing how people work, communicate, and even think about their aspirations.
Yeah.
So how does Lakshmi, this ancient symbol of prosperity, find a place in this new digital landscape?
That's where it gets really interesting. Our sources don't delve deeply into this, but it sparks a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Is Lakshmi still primarily associated with those traditional forms of wealth, land, gold, material possessions?
Right.
Or is her image evolving to encompass this digital age?
Yeah.
Think about the rise of digital assets, cryptocurrency, online businesses.
Yeah.
Could there be a digital Lakshmi emerging representing the aspirations of this tech-savvy generation?
It's a thought-provoking idea.
Mm.
And it makes you wonder if Lakshmi's symbolism is evolving.
Yeah.
How does that impact the way people view prosperity and success? Is it still tied to those traditional values of Dharma, of righteous living?
Right.
Or is there a new set of ethics emerging alongside this digital world?
That's a crucial question, and it also makes us consider the potential downsides.
Okay.
You know, we talked about the uneven distribution of wealth that came with the Green Revolution.
Yeah.
Could we see a similar pattern with the digital revolution?
Right.
Will everyone benefit equally from these technological advancements, or will it exacerbate existing inequalities?
It's a concern that we can't ignore. Just like with any huge societal shift, there's a risk that some will be left behind while others prosper.
Absolutely.
We need to think critically about how to ensure that the benefits of this digital revolution are shared equitably, that everyone have access to the education, the skills, and the opportunities needed to thrive.
You've hit on a core theme that keeps emerging, you know, the need to balance prosperity with social justice.
Yeah.
It's not enough to simply create wealth. We have to ensure that it's distributed fairly, that it uplifts communities and creates a more just and equitable society.
And it circles back to that multifaceted idea of Lakshmi. She's not just about individual gain. She's about abundance for all.
Right.
So how do we translate that ancient ideal into action in this rapidly changing world? How do we ensure that prosperity isn't just for the few, but a shared reality for everyone?
It's a complex challenge with no easy answers, but I think engaging in these conversations, questioning our assumptions, and considering different perspectives is a vital step. And perhaps Lakshmi, with her enduring symbolism and her connection to those core values of Dharma and righteous living, can offer us a framework for navigating these complex issues.
This deep dive has been quite a journey.
It has.
We've explored Lakshmi's symbolism across centuries, from ancient trade routes to this digital revolution.
Yeah, it's remarkable how her story continues to resonate even in the face of such dramatic change.
It's a testament to the power of these ancient myths and symbols.
Absolutely.
They offer us a lens through which we can understand not just the past, but also the challenges and opportunities of the present.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is that prosperity isn't a fixed concept.
Yeah.
It means different things to different people across different times and cultures, and it's constantly evolving.
Absolutely. And that realization challenges each of us to think critically about our own definitions of prosperity.
Right.
What does it truly mean to live a fulfilling and abundant life? What are our aspirations, and how do we ensure that our pursuit of those aspirations contributes to a more just and equitable world?
These are questions worth pondering as we move forward, and they remind us that this deep dive isn't just about Lakshmi, it's about us.
Yes.
Understanding our place in the world and how we can contribute to a future where prosperity is a shared reality for all.
Well said.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Lakshmi.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've gained a new appreciation for her multifaceted nature, her connection to those enduring values, and how her symbolism continues to resonate in our ever-changing world. Keep those minds curious, keep questioning, and keep seeking those connections between the past and the present. We'll see you next time on another Deep Dive Exploration.